right, thank you, guys. Presentations, the first up is we have a wonderful celebration here of all the event people that worked on this. 4th of July recap, staff recognition. So Angelica, are we going to be able to bring everybody up?
We are. We actually, one, I wanted to thank the folks that helped plan the 4th of July. While there was a very large contingent, it really does take a village to put on this event. Today, we were specifically honoring the folks that were on the planning committee. And I actually want to invite Linda Plesha up as well, who will provide a recap of the event. Linda this year took the lead in planning the event. She was our lead event coordinator. Would you like to hear the presentation first and then invite folks up, or would you like to invite folks up first? We have a lot of people, and there's actually one name that we need to add to that list. Let's go, if it's okay with you, we'll have Linda present.
I'd love to tell you about all the great things we accomplished this year, and then we can celebrate the folks that helped make it happen. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I'm Linda Plesha, Recreation Services Manager, and I have the privilege of coordinating this year's 4th of July celebration at Barney Schwartz Park. This year's event was especially meaningful as our nation celebrated its 250th anniversary. Thousands of community members came together for an evening filled with patriotism, family fun, live entertainment, and an incredible fireworks display. Thanks to the dedication, teamwork, and careful planning of the staff, volunteers, community partners, and sponsors, the celebration was our largest and most successful event to date. Goes forward. Warren, if I'm doing the arrow, is that right? That works. The event committee began meeting in February to plan this once-in-a-lifetime celebration. On the day of the event, 100 city employees worked a total of 900 hours from 6 a.m. until 2 a.m. to create a safe, smooth, and memorable experience for an estimated 10 to 12,000 attendees. A special thank you to our emergency services and police department staff who carefully prepared for every possible incident, maintained a strong safety presence throughout the park, and managed traffic at the end of the evening to help ensure everyone made it home safely. You need to do that for me. There we go. Community volunteers are truly the heart of this event. 50 volunteers, including 19 returning volunteers, members of the police department's community volunteer patrol, and the community emergency response team, contributed more than 150 hours of service. Their presence throughout the park helped create a safe, welcoming, and enjoyable experience for thousands of attendees. Next slide, please. Oh, there we go. The stage came alive at 5:30 p.m. with Garden Party, who delivered an outstanding set of feel-good hits from the 60s and 70s. Stepping Out followed at 7 p.m. with a high-energy performance that turned the park into a dance party and had the crowd on its feet. Together, the bands created the perfect soundtrack for an unforgettable evening and carried the energy right into the event's patriotic finale. I went too fast. I do want to go back, sorry. I should be on slide 5. Back. Can I go back? Sorry. It's just I want you to see all these beautiful photos from this year's event. One more. There we go. In honor of our nation's 250th birthday, the evening included a stirring presentation of the colors by the North County Veterans Color Guard, followed by a powerful live performance of the national anthem by rising country artist and seventh-generation Shandon native Callie Twisselman. As she sang "The Rocket's Red Glare," the first fireworks soared into the night sky, creating an unforgettable moment as the spectacular fireworks finale began. Me or you? Thank you. The free family fun zone was packed with energy and quickly became one of the event's biggest attractions. Field One was filled with inflatable obstacle courses and slides, water games, cornhole, axe throwing, bright day big blocks, the hilarious granny pants toss, and our new Paso Play on Wheels recreation van. It was the perfect place for families to play, laugh, and make lasting memories while celebrating 250 years of American history together. Next, please. Our sponsor VIP pavilion was decked out in red, white, and blue and filled with smiling faces throughout the evening. As a special thank you to the generous sponsors who helped make this celebration possible, guests enjoyed a catered barbecue, complimentary refreshments, and reserved seating with one of the best views in the park for the spectacular fireworks finale. Next. We are incredibly grateful to our 21 local business sponsors whose generous cash and in-kind contributions totaled $100,060 this year. Their support plays a vital role in the success of this celebration and helps ensure this cherished community tradition remains free and accessible to everyone. We anticipate carrying forward approximately $95,000 to support next year's event, providing a strong foundation for another successful celebration. Next. I may have mentioned that I requested perfect weather for the celebration, but I never imagined the sky itself would join us with this spectacular red, white, and blue sunset. It was the perfect introduction to the glorious fireworks show that followed, and one more unforgettable moment in a truly magical day at Barney Schwartz Park. I am incredibly proud and honored to have helped bring this historic celebration to our community. Final slide. On behalf of the event committee, city staff, volunteers, sponsors, and community partners, thank you all for your continued support of this treasured community tradition. Together, we created an unforgettable celebration worthy of our nation's 250th anniversary, and we look forward to welcoming thousands of residents and visitors back to Barney Schwartz Park next year as we continue celebrating our community and country together. Thank you.
Linda. Yeah, I was going to give them a line. There's a bunch of them here if we want to. We have Angelica Fortune, Karen Jackson, David Malowitz, Dwayne Brown, Gigi Clark, James Taylor, Jerry Record, Joseph Leonard, Justin Dowling, Jeremy Record, Justin Dowling, and Lavella Walker, and of course, Linda Plesha. Well, we also have Melissa Green, Melissa Martin, who's sitting over here, Paul Patty, if Paul's here. We're going to have to start making room over here, guys. Piper Smith, Ross Porter, Steve Boyette, and Wyatt Lund. And this is just a sampling of what put it on. John Nichols, is he here? Okay. On behalf of the City Council and the entire community of Paso Robles, we want to thank you for doing the job that you did for 2026. Totally amazing. More importantly, thank you for the countless hours each of you invested in the 250th anniversary 4th of July celebration for our nation. Events like this don't happen by accident, of course. They are the result of months of planning, teamwork, and commitment to excellence. Because of your dedication and thousands of residents and visitors enjoying this safe, memorable, and truly patriotic celebration that reflected the very best in Paso Robles, please accept our sincere appreciation from the City Council for your professionalism, your teamwork, and willingness to serve our community. We're proud to work alongside you, such as exceptional groups and employees and volunteers that we have. We have a recognition of certificate that maybe, Linda, can you help me? Angelica 14. Karen Jackson. David Malowitz. Jesse. Yeah. Dwayne Brown. And Gigi. Okay.
And James Taylor. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, kind of. James Taylor.
No, he's not here.
He's not here. Okay.
Jeremy
Record. And Joseph Leonard. Justin Dowling.
Where did I lost you, Justin?
There you go, Justin. Lavella Walker.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Linda Plesha. Yeah, there you go, Linda. And Melissa Green. Melissa Martin. Melissa, there you are. Paul Patty. Paul didn't make it. Yep, Ross can take it to him. Piper Smith, and she's not here. Ross Porter, who I met on the airport road today on OTC. Steve Boyette. Wyatt Lund. And he's not here. All right. Please give these guys a great round of applause. Can't wait till you see what you guys do next year, too.
All right.
On to it. Oh, we got to get a photo?
Mark?
Yeah.
Scooch on in.
Get us all in.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, everyone. We have one more presentation. Dwayne, don't sit down. Come on back. Dwayne Brown. We have a proclamation on the Graffiti Volunteer Appreciation Week that Dwayne's going to be the recipient of August 2nd through 8th, 2026. Can you hold that, Dwayne? Yeah, you've been picked. Whereas, a clean and well-maintained community enhances the quality of life, fosters civic pride, and contributes to the vitality of the Paso Robles area for its residents, businesses, and visitors alike. And whereas, graffiti creates an unsightly appearance, diminishes neighborhood aesthetics, negatively affects property values, and detracts from the welcoming character of our community. And whereas, dedicated community volunteers generally contribute their time, talent, and resources by partnering with the City of Paso Robles to remove graffiti from walls, sidewalks, buildings, and other public spaces, helping to restore and preserve the beauty of our community. And whereas, these exceptional volunteers exemplify the highest ideals in service through their commitment to our communities, saving the city and its taxpayers valuable resources while fostering a cleaner, safer, and more attractive environment for everyone. And whereas the City Council wishes to publicly recognize these dedicated volunteers and express sincere appreciation for their outstanding service, unwavering commitment, and meaningful contributions to our community. And therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim August 2nd through the 8th, 2026, as Graffiti Volunteer Appreciation Week in Paso Robles, and urge our fellow citizens to thank these volunteers for their selfless service. Dwayne, you want to say a word, maybe?
Thank you. Can we have all the volunteers come up, please? So I can't say enough about this group of people. I'm extremely honored to present this group of volunteers. These folks do amazing things for our city. They basically, taking a look at this group, there is 69 and a half combined years of city service, which is amazing. They put in at least 850 to 900 hours per year helping to keep our city beautiful. Honestly, the facilities team, maintenance services, we really couldn't live without them. And I really can't praise them enough. The city is lucky to have them. And again, I'm just incredibly thankful for their service. So thank you very much, all of you. So.
Thank you. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Thanks, guys. All right, next we have Capital Projects Report, Didis Esperanza.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council, and the public. This is our once-a-month status update of the capital projects in construction and coming up for construction in the Public Works Department. We haven't had one for a while, but we don't have too much going on right now. We're starting a lot of projects. So these are projects in construction. Here's the list, and I'll just go through them with the pictures. So the Sierra Bonita project is 90% complete with a major part of the work, which is grinding an overlay of the streets in the Sierra Bonita neighborhood. However, there's a portion in the Turtle Creek neighborhood, Trinity, some of those streets. The repairs on those streets were for slurry seal along with Scott Street and Fallbrook Court. We are waiting for that to occur once the sewer pipelines and water pipelines are completed in Scott Street, and then we will resume the work, and then the Sierra Bonita project will be officially completed. The next project that's in construction, that has started construction right now, is the Creston Road Corridor Phase 2, which includes a roundabout as shown in this exhibit. If you recall, Phase 1 was completed last year. That went from South River to Orchard. Now we're starting from Orchard to Niblick. So the work, let me go back. The work is structured in two phases. They both start at the same time. Phase A is all the work in the roundabout, which consists of water line upgrades, sewer pipeline upgrades, drain lines, etc., and they take quite a bit of work and time, and then eventually we'll do the actual roundabout. So that's slated to be completed fall 2028. So the first order of business is to install what's called an isolation water valves throughout. So you'll see it's just spots all over the streets. That's so we can turn off the valves when we start beginning to actually install pipelines. That way we can turn off the pipelines and then install the pipeline and then turn it back on. To that, so once we're done with the isolation valves, we will be beginning to install pipelines. And so that work will be done in the evening hours as well, because we have to turn off the water service and we don't want to impede the businesses from having no water. That one will take a lot more time and a lot more complicated because it's an actual pipeline instead of isolation valves. And so with that project, with that phase of the project, we will need to close Creston Road between Nickerson and Melody, but it'll be closed from the hours of 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. to take advantage of the least amount of traffic during the day. It should only take one night. Emergency area will be available for emergency use, and localized traffic will be allowed to go through the detour. More details to follow as we are preparing for that actual closure, likely after Labor Day. So the other Phase B part of the project is the curbs, gutters, and curb ramps, and that's going to take is taking place from Melody to Niblick. Again, they're starting at the same time as roundabout. The only thing underground to be placed here is future fiber conduits. And then once the curb ramps and the sidewalks and the conduit is completed, then we'll also begin the paving part. So that's slated to be completed 1 year earlier than the roundabout, which is about fall 2027. That work is done during the day. The next project that's coming into construction will start on August 10th, which is next week. It's been a long time waiting, is the Commerce Way Road repairs from Scott Street to Sherwood. That will have dig out repairs and grind and overlay, and then finally pavement and striping. There's only one curb ramp in this whole stretch of the road, so it should go pretty fast or faster than normal, and then we'll be striping it. And just a reminder, when we put the stripe back, that it won't quite look like the way it was. We'll be striping it for bike lane, center line, median, much more robust than what it used to look like. The other project just started yesterday, which is the Riverside project from 17th to 21st. Right now we're just doing curb ramps and sidewalks, and we're using community block grant to fund those construction, so we're saving our sales tax money for the actual road repair. So we'll be finishing that later this year, and then on the heels of it, we'll be repairing the actual surface, which uses the sales tax. So that will likely happen early next year, so that the surface will be completed before Mid-State Fair 2027. So that's all the projects that's in construction right now. The next batch of projects are coming up. One is the downtown streets. I think I've reported this many times already. We are in design. We hope to finish later this year and begin construction, hopefully towards the middle of end of next year. The Orchard Bungalow is in design. We're doing it in phases. Phase one is in design, and that should also be finished and be in construction later next year. And as well, the Sherwood neighborhood is in design. Again, maybe by next year, it'll be in construction. This project has quite a bit of curb ramps. It's an old neighborhood, so a lot of the curb ramps are out of alliance with design, with the requirements, and so they will need to be upgraded. And then the road is pretty heavily used and needs to be ground and overlaid. Yes. And then this one here is the west side, 16th, 18th, 30th, 32nd, and 36th. This actually will be moving to the construction part on my next report. This project is on your agenda to award to West Rock. And once it's awarded, we'll begin construction. You might see the contractor starting ahead of time, just to start potholing the existing utilities so we know where they are vertically, because this was going to be a full-depth reclamation project. That concludes my report, and I'll be happy to report to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dietis. Questions of Dietis?
How are they going to be handling like the 16th, 18th Street? Is that going to be sequenced street by street, or what's sort of the timeline for that?
So those require a lot of curb ramp upgrades, so they'll probably just do curb ramps on the whole thing and then come back with the actual street repair.
Okay, thank you.
Questions on my right? No, good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody in the public have any questions? Good? Sure, Chris, go ahead.
Dietis, I noticed on Creston at about Melody, they were doing some saw cuts and whatnot on the ramps. It wasn't a city crew, it was another construction crew. There wasn't any kind of a notice ahead of time, on Melody. So you had to make kind of a double detour to come back.
Oh, for traffic control.
So if maybe they could mark that like farther out so residents can take a different route and not have to double back on it.
Okay, advance notice for traffic. Okay, will do.
Okay, thank you very much, Dietis.
Thank you.
Next up, we have airport operations update. Mark Scandell is airport manager. Welcome, Mark.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Mark Scandell, airport manager, here to give a periodic update. Appear to do this probably about once a quarter. Just want to bring you up to date on what we're doing at the airport. So first, I will use this as my free advertising and shameless plug for the airport is hiring. We have an operations and maintenance supervisor out currently and an airport maintenance technician. If you know anyone or you'd like to apply, please apply at prc.com or scan the QR code for more information.
Yeah, I am going to be out of a job here in 4 months.
Our ongoing FAA grant program, right now we have an open grant for full depth reconstruction of taxiway Alpha north of Bravo. That is shown with the black arrow there. In 2025, you may recall we got a design grant from the FAA to design that project. It has been designed. We've gone out to bid. We have gotten responsive bids, and now we've submitted a $3.9 million construction grant. We do expect to hear back from the FAA in fall/winter this year. For our master plan, these are ongoing efforts here behind the scenes. This is a major part of our spaceport application. We need to update the master plan to reflect what we're doing with the spaceport, also with our continued progress with the airport as well. We've held 4 planning advisory committee meetings for this, 3 public workshops. We now do have an identified alternative, draft alternative. Our next steps are to go for local approvals. That'd be Airport Commission, Airport Land Use Commission, which is at county level, and then City Council for adoption of that. If you would like more info, all of the materials for the master plan are online at prb.airportstudy.net. There is a QR code you can also scan. One of the projects the council wanted us to go forward with was refreshing the airport terminal. High level overview, that's a new paint scheme, that's new interior furnishings, a new monument sign at Airport Road, and some security upgrades around the terminal. We've come up with a design concept there. We're gonna go for local approvals there as well. That'd be Airport Commission / Planning Commission, City Council for approval of that project. And then we would bid the project and construct it. In this current 2-year budget, we allocated funds out of the airport fund to pay for this project. We did apply for an FAA grant, a discretionary grant, to try to get some funds out of that. We were not selected in the first round of funding. There's a chance, but unlikely. Luckily, we've planned for this in the airport fund in the next 2-year budget cycle, and we can move forward with that project. Airport logo, council's authorized us to come up with a logo for the airport, get us on the map, so to speak. I've had some public workshops and some public input on that. We've developed some themes. Those themes are a primary logo, a seal type logo, which would go well with the city's logo, which is a seal itself, a logo type, which would be, you know, your marketing, which would print on pens and hats and shirts and things like that. And then a favicon, which is a new word I learned.
Yeah.
It's essentially an icon. So it's not the full logo, but it's an icon for the logo. Imagine you're on our website, your mouse cursor turns into this favicon, and we have a little logo for us. Hmm. Next steps, staff, we have a nice picture, but we need to come up with a marketing strategy and a brand strategy overall for the airport and what we're gonna do with this logo. So we're working internally with that. Jen Starnes has been very helpful with that. We're gonna come up with a marketing branding strategy so we can launch this logo here. We'll take to the commission for review and ultimately City Council for adoption. Next, I wanna highlight Cuesta College's aviation maintenance program and Lloyd's Aviation, who's at the airport, and they have a big maintenance shop out there. So we have Christian Plasencia and EJ Miller. They're both graduates of Cuesta College. Christian was recently featured in the San Luis Tribune about his life as a high school student and how he didn't really know what he was going to do. He ended up in the Cuesta program. Now he's a fully functioning, licensed airframe power plant mechanic, works for Lloyd's Aviation. He's been instrumental in helping that maintenance shop earn their Cessna Service Center designation, Rotax Service Center designation, and recently they've become a dealership for de-icing boots. So when you get to altitude, it's cold. These boots will expand and bust the ice off of there. Maintenance shop's doing well. Spoke with the owner this morning. He said you can certainly report that we are running in the black. So that's nice to hear. Building a business over the last 18 months, all new tooling, all new staff, and they're running positive. 4th of July, thank you Linda and her group and the council for everything you guys did on that. I want to highlight some things that we did with the Royal Air Force. That first picture on the left-hand side is them at the 4th of July. Please don't mind the gentleman in the middle, just look on the outside. Yeah. Those are 2 officers from the Royal Air Force. They're drop zone safety officers. While the Royal Air Force has their main operations in San Luis Airport now, they've split some of their contingency up here in the North County. That's the drop zone safety officers. That's the fire service, because they're operating so much out of Camp Roberts. They wanted to be up here. Also, the older officers like the atmosphere in Paso Robles. Mm-hmm. They certainly enjoyed being here.
Are they still bringing their golf clubs?
They bring their golf clubs. They frequent the restaurants.
Yeah.
So at the airport, though, you can see Warhawk 07. That's their small airframe program. That's been in and out of the airport multiple times a day throughout the entire exercise. That's gone well, and they've gotten diplomatic clearance to bring in the larger airframe, the A400, which has been here before. From what I've been told, the U.S. government doesn't allow foreign militaries just to land anywhere. They must select three airports. And then if they want to change, they have to get clearance. So the RAF has made that decision to add us to the list when they're on the West Coast, so they can have that diplomatic clearance to land that aircraft. And you can see we've been providing the ground support equipment for them as well. They've been staging out of the airport with the fire trucks, with all their trucks and vans and things to move the troops around. And lastly, I want to touch on the spaceport request for proposals. Paul, David, and I are working very diligently on this. Yesterday, August 3rd at 5 p.m., the proposal window closed. So we've had a number of proposals turned in. Now we're in that review period where we're going to take those proposals in, rank them, and provide a recommendation to council on the direction to go forward. We do anticipate a September 1 award date for that contract to bring back to council. So moving quickly, with that, happy to take any questions you have.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Questions? Chris Beal?
That was great. What's the RFP for the spaceport for?
So we have,
go back to that.
50 or so percent of the license left to finish. Those are technical portions of the license that we aren't able to do in-house. So we're bringing an engineering consulting firm to finish off those portions for us.
So it's the remainder of the application process.
Correct.
For the FAA, right?
Correct, yeah.
And I thought the presentation was helpful. The only other thing I'd like to add is we are all getting lots of questions about what the spaceport is. And I know we had that great meeting, but not everybody's going to go back and watch a two-hour, you know, joint meeting on YouTube. And so I'm going to elevate my interest in having some sort of kind of community user-friendly FAQ on what it is and what it is not, so that when people Google, they can get to the city website and get good information. Thanks.
Questions on my right? Chris Bausch.
Just a comment, Mark. Thank you for including the RAF officers at our 4th of July celebration. They were a riot. They were fun to talk with, to drink with, to eat with. They were just very pleasant, regular, down-to-earth guys. We shared a lot of stories about their neighborhoods, where they grew up and where they're from, and how much they liked Paso Robles. So you were right there with us, and it was just a really enjoyable evening. So thank you very much for that.
I mean, I want to say they thanked you guys. They thought the event that the council and everybody put on was amazing. One thing they noted, they felt a sense of honor during the national anthem. They don't get that in the UK, where people stand up at attention, take their hats off.
Wow.
They really respected that.
Oh, nice. Wow. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, Mark, would you ask the city manager if you could take over one of the Friday morning coffees for a presentation on the spaceport?
That would be a good topic. Yeah. I also will say, too, that over the weekend, we had the Lincoln Republican event where Devin Nunes was there, and I spoke with him directly on spaceport. He knew of it briefly and wasn't aware of where we were specifically, so I kind of informed him further on where we are and actually sent him a link and showed that photo right there. He didn't realize we're an airport our size at all. So he sits on the President's Intelligence Advisory Committee right now. He chairs that, so that was well done. Okay, Mark, thank you. Any questions from public? Dale?
There we go. Dale Gustin. I've been a supporter of trying to get the spaceport here. since they first indicated we have a chance for it. And of course, Paul and Bill have been working with the FAA, and I think that the city is making good strides in that effort. As it was presented, it's going to hopefully bring some higher paying jobs to the area, which we've got a bunch of empty homes that the average person can't afford. So I hope that that happens. On the other hand, you referred to the Royal Air Force. I remember when they used to land here all the time, but then they liked ACI, and you chose to move, not renew ACI, and I was disappointed because the Royal Air Force really liked ACI.
Anyone else? I do want to compliment, actually, Bill Britton and there he is, Paul Sloan. Those two have been working extremely hard on getting this over the finish line, and appreciate all the work you guys are doing. Thank you. Welcome.
John. Okay. My name is Elliot Cannon, 405 Fairview Lane. I've been living here in Paso Robles since 2007. I'm a retired 747 captain, and I'm here to talk about one of the most valued assets for a city, for Paso Robles, is the airport. And this is just my observation about why I think maybe things aren't being done. They're not using the airport as well as we could be. I think there should be more things going on here. The airport affects a small percentage of the population, but the city owns the airport. The city gets the money from the airport. And I think there could be more activities going on at the airport. When I first started, my first landing here was in December of 1973 when I was working on my commercial pilot's license. And in 2006, I retired. We decided to my parents lived in Tascadero, so I thought, well, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll have lunch with them and build some more time. When I retired, we finally decided we'd retire here in Paso Robles. So I thought, great, they got a great airport there. I'll go up there. And 2007, we moved in, and one of the first things I did is I bought an airplane, started flying out of here. But there wasn't much going on, but we used to meet a bunch of pilots at one of the hangars here, and we would talk about the airport and how it could be improved. And one of the things that was brought up was the lack of manpower to maintain the airport properly. I suggested we have a list of volunteers who could maybe help when they needed help. You know, the airport manager could call, and the airport manager would show up at this hangar, these informal meetings, and AC guy from ACI Jet would show up. And the guy from ACI even suggested that they could possibly be covering these volunteers with their own liability insurance. I don't know how that was going to happen, but nothing happened after that. Then they came up with the Airport Advisory Committee. And I was warned not to go to those meetings by some of the old guys at the airport. And I said, why? They said, well, nothing ever gets done. And well, I'm an old guy myself. I'm not going to let a bunch of old geezers tell me what to do. So I would show up at these meetings only to find out that the head of the Airport Advisory Committee didn't live in Paso Robles. He didn't fly out of Paso Robles. And he had no business in Paso Robles, but he was the head of the Paso Robles Advisory Committee. So then we came up with the Airport Commission, okay? There were a lot of things discussed in the Airport Commission. I finally had to stop going to the meetings because nothing ever happened. A few things did, some did not. I just thought, and it was a more formal meeting. That's it? Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, summarize if you would, Elliot, that's fine.
Okay, well, anyway, I think there could be more things going on at the airport than there are now. It's a great asset, and there should be more things happening there.
Well, we're certainly working on it. I think that spaceport.
There were people showed up, two groups that wanted to open a skydiving, have a drop zone here. As a former skydiver myself, I thought that was a great idea. That never happened. There were two gentlemen showed up. They wanted to build a large hangars here to accommodate jets. Never heard from them again. That didn't happen. I asked ACI Jet that they want to build a hangar there. They said yes. That didn't happen. So I've got more stuff here, but
all right.
That's a lot of time.
Let's talk. All right. Thank you, Elliot.
Well, thanks to the street. They finally resurfaced my street.
We're all on a list somewhere. Thank you. Okay. Anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. We'll go ahead then and close presentations and move on to general public comment. General public comment, this is the time that the public may address the City Council on items within its purview, but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker information card and give it to our city clerk. Upon speaking, you'll have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on any item scheduled on tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity to do so at the time that item is being considered.
Hello. Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. We had a really good week in District 1 with residents. 3126 Spring Street had ACD visit, and it finally resulted in the park being cited, or will be cited soon, for health issues and a leaking sewer. Maggots were seen at the garbage bins, and the last year the park was fixed with HCD park management programs. It's in disarray again. Another infestation of cockroaches was found because of the leaking sewer. 5 units are affected this time. Warren, this is why I loop you in, because we should really notice the new projects coming in this area that there is infestations. Arrive has cockroaches, it was in the paper. So it's taken me 4 years to get HCD to get on board. You know, there's feces that have been found in our bin. There, everything is just really terrible. And it's really hard, you know, to live there, knowing that I've lived in nicer areas all throughout the, you know, Bay Area. And so I think it's very imperative that we review our lower and fixed income with regular communications on their habitability issues. So I was, well, none of them would come out because I live with farm workers. Let's be real. The majority of those 66 spaces are people that are illegal immigrants and farm workers. And so when HCD came, they all ran and hid. Okay, they're scared to even say, hey, I don't want to live with these infestation. Only one came out. But I want to remind the city, as I sent multiple emails, you guys have seen them, Warren has seen them, Chris has seen them, most recently Ms. Hall, that the enforcement of habitability issues belongs with the city attorney. I recently mentioned it to you the other day, and you shook your head no, you didn't want to deal with it. Again, it took me 4 years in going to the Capitol to get HCD to act. So our pipes and our sewer systems are in disrepair that the plumbers had gone together and said they're not going to fix them anymore. Okay, so that becomes what I did. I spoke with an eminent domain attorney on Monday. We took an hour consult. So we are really not habitable in our park, okay? And I believe these actions will force our management to stop letting us live in a third world country. Leslie Frazier evaluated our property and recommended the park to restripe and make one park of the driveway one way only. They received the email, but the property manager decided not to do it. So these types of enforcements from the city are necessary. As many battles have I had with the same HCD staff, my neighbors will now have relief from a very nasty infestation. I find it imperative that we keep our pulse on the low-income areas of District 1. It was a long-time victory in the making for us residents, and I ask the attorney needs to stop evading her duties. It was an internal memo as a reminder of the duties based upon AB 548. I ask from this day forth that if any staff, and I'm done, who enters a citizen's home and sees a habitability issue to immediately refer to the city attorney.
Can you summarize?
I'm done.
There you go.
So that's what I wanted to say today. It took me a lot of time, and that property could be taken away, okay, because it is that bad. Thank you.
Dale?
Good evening again, Dale Gustin. Linda Prussia and Paul Sloan, I think, are the two most valuable employees you have in this city. No offense to Warren Frank, he's done an excellent job. He's done an excellent job. We stole him from Atascadero, you remember. Anyway, Linda and I, it goes way back when The seniors were meeting in a facility over there where the police station and fire station are. And when that was torn down, we had to move to Centennial Park. And Centennial Park, it just wasn't cutting it for the seniors. And so we found out, and I was on the senior advisory committee, we found out that the vets were going to build on Scott Road. So we decided, okay, that we'll settle for a building there. But the first thing they offered to the seniors was going to be inadequate. So we said, well, here's what we want. How much extras is it going to require, money-wise, to get what we want? And they said $200,000. Well, guess what? We had more than that in our fund for seniors, and that is managed by the city.
Yeah.
And so we got what we wanted, and it's really a nice facility. And Linda's been involved in all of that. She managed it to start with and hired Mickey, and then the other outfit came in with a contract, and I don't know what happened there, but all of a sudden, Mickey says their contract was terminated, and she was going to work for the city. I thought, well, that's great, but then all of a sudden, Mickey says, they're firing me, and I thought, well, that's strange. So then they said, Capflow's taking over. So, well, the city's entitled to, you know, run its facilities the way they think is the best. But last Monday, you had an awful lot of angry seniors who didn't like the way the city went about firing Mickey. And I'm not going to tell you how to run your city, but you sure got a lot of angry seniors.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, moving on, we have agenda items to be deferred. Mr. Huat, or do you have something here for Chris?
Well, I'm wondering if it makes sense for Angelica to sort of speak to the issue of the senior advisory and...
Actually, Chris, would you like to handle that one?
I'll do my best, and then I'll have Angelica come up and fill in some gaps. So just want to start off with the fact that I think staff's priority has always been that we wanted to maintain uninterrupted senior center operations while making sure that we're positioning that facility for some expanded service and long-term stability. So I'll run through a quick background, and hopefully it provides context to the comment that was just made. From 2012 to early 2026, the city contracted with a group called Senior Volunteer Services to operate the Senior Center. In February of this year, the city temporarily resumed direct operations after SVS, Senior Volunteer Services, was no longer able to provide services at the Senior Center for a variety of different reasons. To make sure that there was continuity in programming and to make sure that the doors stayed open, the lights stayed on, and the programs stayed moving forward, the city retained the two existing part-time senior center employees through a temporary staffing arrangement through a temp agency, while the city went through a process to identify a new operator. So back in March of this year, the city issued an RFP, a request for proposal to look for a new operator. The city received one proposal, and that was from Capslow. They were the sole respondent and selected based in part on their experience in serving this clientele and administering a wide range of programs that support senior citizens. On June 16th of this year, the City Council unanimously approved the agreement with Capslow, and Capslow will officially assume operations of the Senior Center on August 17th, although I know they're out there starting this week making that transition. Under that agreement in which the council approved, Capslow has sole responsibility for personnel decisions out at the Senior Center. The city does not retain any oversight of any sort of recruitment processes there. So any personnel updates, changes, et cetera, were the sole responsibility of Capslow under their contract. In this case, this was a end of a temporary position, and I just want to correct the record that no one was terminated in this case. With that being said, again, we recognize that there is change that's happening, both from an operational standpoint and from a staffing standpoint. Ms. Fortin, along with Capslow, has been out at the Senior Center this week engaging with individuals there through a Coffee with Capslow type of series. I think there's another session upcoming, and we'll continue to work with Senior Center members over the course of the next weeks and months to ensure that their needs are being met. I think we're actually conducting some surveys and doing some engagement work out there now to make sure that as Capslow ramps up, those programs align with the needs of the individuals at the center. We're excited for what Capslow is bringing to the table. So I hope that provides some additional context, and I'd be happy to invite Ms. Fortin up to provide additional context.
Chris, to be clear then, it sounds like the two previous employees from the contractor were never employees of the city. They were through a temp agency in the interim.
Yeah, correct? That is correct.
And it was Capslow who made the decision.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And Helica, do you have something to add? Are you good? Okay. All right.
John?
Yes. Go ahead, Chris.
Maybe just that some of the comments that I'm hearing back on this, thank you for your answers. That was excellent. What it doesn't answer is why the city doesn't operate the senior center directly themselves. I don't know if you were around. I don't think you were when that SVS took over and began operations. But have you read anything about that and share some with us?
I'm sure Angelica has a little bit more history than I do, being closer to the project. But what I can tell you is through this current transition, the city did evaluate whether or not it made sense for the city to operate the senior center directly. And it really came down to one, a cost issue. We projected that there were some longer-term cost with having both full and part-time city staff members running the center directly. And then two, there's some inherent advantages, in this case, we believe, of having Capslow in particular operate the facility because they have access to quite a few different services and programs that the city doesn't have that direct access to. And so those are two of the main reasons why I think staff forwarded you the agreement for your approval. But I want to have Angelica chime in as well, just on the question on the history.
The city hasn't operated the senior center since 2012, and that was a cost-saving measure that council took at that time.
So we're still following that same model where we have a contractor running it for the city.
We do, yes.
Right.
So the new operator is Capslow.
Yeah, I know the previous contractor had some issues and wasn't performing really the way I understand. And there was an agreement between both of us that we separate, but we kept the two employees that were there through a temp agency we could find some
Correct.
Other contractor that could hire them.
And Correct. We were faced with trying to determine how to keep the doors open when the operator could no longer provide services. We don't have the staff on hand to do that. And so we were fortunate enough to be able to retain the employees through the temp agency, but that was, they were directly employed by the temp agency.
And I can say
Johnson Strong.
I can comment that I've been there through the whole thing.